耶稣将大使命颁布给我们，要我们使人做主的门徒。今日我们不必踌躇，这里有主的中仆，教导你我规划服事、牧养、训练、拆船与职堂的蓝图。让我们透过这两课中，经历从天上来的赐福。欢迎收听晨曦讲座。
欢迎来到晨曦讲座，我是您的同工方华。今天我们要一起听曾金发牧师的《传承跨代的危机与转机》，这是曾牧师受邀对神学生的特别讲座。方华很喜欢曾牧师的讲道，很受激励，十分的受用。我觉得这个特别的讲座很适合传道人、全职侍奉神的同工一起来聆听。之前曾牧师以耶利米书6:16勉励同工在忙碌中学会安静，传道人要留意在生活中漂流的危险，随波逐流通常是不自觉的，服事如果分心或缺乏热诚和生命力，必将虚度此生。今天曾牧师继续以耶利米书的6:16勉励我们在追求知识中学会智慧。曾牧师曾经在60岁的时候求问神，他的余生该有什么样的提醒，神给了他4方向。今天他也会分享他个人读经的秘诀，以下我们一块儿来听。
世代更替的速度越来越快，面对教会、家庭、组织，上一代与下一代的传承浪潮一波波涌来，什么该留，什么该舍，邀请您一起来寻找定准之锚，勇度跨代挑战。欢迎收听传承跨代的危机与转机。
6 years ago, I turned 60 years old.
6年前我刚60岁。
I spent the day in prayer.
我用那天我花时间祷告。
And I asked the Lord a question.
我跟主问一个问题。
Lord, in 60 years of living in planet Earth, I've learned many lessons.
主啊，在地上活了60年，我学到很多的功课。
What are some very foundational lessons I must remember for the rest of my life?
有什么最根本的功课我需要在余生要牢牢记住的呢？
Would you show me, Lord, what are these key things so that for the rest of my life from 60 years old onwards, I live day by day remembering these?
有什么深刻的功课我需要记得，以致我余生能够每一天都被提醒继续这样
活？ He gave me 4 lessons and I recorded them in my journal.
神提醒我4功课，我在日记里面记下来这4功课。
And the last 6 years, I constantly remember these 4 things.
过去6年，我一直不断提醒我这四个功课。
The first truth, life is short.
第一个是生命短暂。
The second truth, needs are many.
第二个，到处都是需要。
The third truth, man is weak.
第三，人是软弱的。
And the fourth, God is great.
第四，上帝伟大。
Life is short, needs are many.
生命短暂，需要到处都是。
The older I get, the more invitations I get, the more requests I get.
我年纪越大，越接到更多的邀约。
There are many needs all around.
很多，全世界各地很多的需要。
And I'm not called to meet every need.
我不是蒙召去满足所有的需要。
Because the need doesn't constitute the call.
因为需要并不构成呼召。
I need to know what is God's calling, what's God's direction.
我必须要知道神呼召我去的方向是什么。
So that I can live by divine appointments.
因此我能够靠着神圣的指引来
过活。Fulfill divine assignments.
去满足神给我的事工。
And walk in divine alignment in the ways of God.
以致我能够与神同步。
Then I realize how weak I am.
然后我又发觉我自己是非常软弱。
And I embrace how strong God is.
因此我拥抱主的大能。
So each morning I pray, it's not because it's a routine.
所以每一天早晨我祷告，不是因为这个是一个日复一日的习惯。
I pray because I need it.
因为 我祷告是因为我需要。
I pray because I'm very weak.
我祷告因为我知道我非常软弱。
Unless the Lord help me, I don't have the strength, I don't have the wisdom.
除非神帮助我，否则我没有这个智慧，也没有这个力量。
I must stay in connection with God.
我必须与主相连。
So my brothers and sisters, I encourage you, stop your busyness and connect with God.
所以各位弟兄姊妹，我真的真心劝你们，在你的忙碌中停下来与主相连。
And to connect with God, you must deal thoroughly with sin.
当你与主相连的时候，你必须要对付你的罪。
Otherwise, it compromises everything.
否则的话，你的罪会使所有的事情搞得一团糟。
To deal with sin, you don't just try to manage it or master it, you repent of it.
处理我们的罪，你不是去管理它，你必须要悔改。
You realize how serious it is.
你要知道它多严重。
How it grieves the heart of God.
它怎么样使得神的心伤透了。
How it compromises your leadership and ministry.
它如何使得你的力量、你的领导漏气了。
How it creates an emptiness inside.
什么样使你心中产生虚空。
A spiritual dryness.
一种属灵的干枯干。
And how Satan and the demons will trap and deceive you.
魔鬼如何设下陷阱把你困住。
And you can't really live a breakthrough life in God.
那你没有办法在主里面活出一个突破的生命。
Until you stop.
直到你停下来。
And stand by the ways and see.
站在路上小心查看。
How important it is to walk in the ways of God, to listen to the word of God.
走在主的路上听主的话是何等的重要。
And to put the word of God in practice.
把主的道活出来。
That change around doesn't come overnight.
这种改变不是一夜之间发生的。
But step by step, you will keep on growing.
是一步一步你在慢慢成长。
Until there's a sense of freedom, there's a sense of grace, that freedom from bondage, from spiritual dryness.
直到有一天你会发觉有一种新的自由，挣脱捆绑的自由在你生命中。
So that's the first lesson. In the midst of busyness, learn to be still.
这是第一个功课我们要学的，就是在忙碌中学习安静。
So that you can take stock of your life.
所以你能够检视你的生命。
You can take charge of your life.
你能够再一次使生命在受控之中。
You can take care of your life.
你可以照顾好你的生命。
The second lesson is in the quest for knowledge, learn to be wise.
第二个功课就是在追求知识中学习智慧。学习智慧。
Stand by the ways and see and ask for the ancient path.
经文说但当站在路上查看，访问古道。
So the first word is stop. The second word is ask.
所以第一个关键字是停下来，第二个关键字是问。
Very often we don't know how to ask.
很多时候我们不晓得怎么问问题。
Do you notice when we men drive and we are lost, we seldom stop and ask for directions?
我们有没有这种经验？我们一直在开车。我们却是迷了路，可是却不愿意停下来问路。
And for those of you sisters here, I want to explain to you the male psychic, how we think as male.
这通常是弟兄开车时候的通病，所以今天姐妹们，我跟你解释一下弟兄心里面那个秘密是什么。
I tell you why we men, even though we are lost driving, we don't ask.
我告诉你为什么我们男人在开车迷了路，我们仍然不愿意问路。
That's a simple reason.
很简单的原因。
We don't think we are lost.
因为我们不觉得我们迷途了。
If we are not lost, why do we stop and ask?
如果我不觉得我迷路，我为什么要问？
So we keep driving on.
所以继续开车。
And even when we finally know we are lost, we still don't ask.
然后即使最后发觉自己迷路了，也不愿意问。
I will tell you why.
为什么呢？
Because we think we can find a way out.
因为我觉得我可以再找到路出来。
It's all about us. I can do it. I'm not lost. I'm not lost. I can do it.
所以心里面一直说我没有迷路，我没有迷路，即使迷路我也找到路。
The ancient quest is to learn to ask.
这个 古时候留下来的一种追寻就是学习去问。
But what are we to ask?
可是我们要问什么呢？
It says ask for the ancient paths.
这里说访问古道。
Now, what is the ancient paths?
那古道是什么？
The Hebrew word is olam.
希伯来文就是 olam.
Olam is used in two basic ideas.
Olam 这个字用在两种情况之下。
In the Jerusalem Center for Ancient Hebraic Words, it is found that this word is an interesting one.
在耶路撒冷的市中心，他们说这个字是一个古时候的字，很有意思。
Because Olam can be used in relation to space or in relation to time.
所以这个字 Olam 可以用来跟时间或跟空间，跟空间有关。
If it's used in relation to space, it means lots and lots of space.
然后如果用在空间中间，就表示说有很多很多的空间。
So when you think lots and lots of space, Olam can be translated as the universe.
所以如果你说很广阔的空间， Olam 这个字可以翻译成为宇宙。
So in the Hebrew blessing, Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam, the word Olam is used as universe.
所以在希伯来语的祝福中间，这个字用来表达就是宇宙。
But Olam can also be used in relation to time.
可是 Olam 也可以用来跟时间有关联。
In this case, it's translated as ancient.
在这一里，这经文这里的上下文，它翻译就是古时候。
But it can also be interpreted in relation to eternity.
可是同样也可以用来表达永恒。
So El Olam is the eternal God.
所以 El Olam 意思就是说永恒的主。
So this Olam path can also be translated the eternal path.
所以这个古道也可以翻译成为永恒之道。
Now the theology of eternity is not lots and lots of time.
所以对于永恒的了解，永恒并不是说很多很多的时间。
The theology of eternity is timelessness.
永恒的神学所表达的是没有时间。
So one translation of this is ask for the timeless path.
所以另外一个翻译就表示就是问一个超越时间不受时间规范的道。
So in relation to time, if Olam is looking backwards, it's the ancient path.
所以如果往后看，这个就是说古时候的道。
If it's looked generally, it's the timeless path.
如果一般性的来看，它就是一个不受限制、时间限制的道。
So here's my question: Where do we find the ancient timeless paths?
那我们的问题说，我们去哪里找这个既是古时候又是不受时间限制的道？
The Word of God says, "Ask for the Olam path." Where do we find this path?
经文告诉我们说，访问古道，那个古道在哪里呢？
There is only one source that is ancient and timeless. It is the Word of God.
只有一样东西既是古老又不受时间控制、受限制的，就是神的话。
In the quest of knowledge, learn to be wise in the Word of God.
所以在追求知识中学习，学会智慧就是神的话。
Because in the Word of God is the ancient timeless paths.
因为神的话就是那个古时候又不受时间限制的道。
In the Word of God is God's wisdom for all the contingencies of life.
所以在主的话中间，主的话带出来就是为生命中所有议题带出来的答案。
There's something here that surprised me when I meditated on it.
当我默想这段经文的时候，我发觉有一些蛮让我惊讶的。
I expected the word of God to say, stand by the way and see and ask for the ancient path, singular. But this is paths, plural.
我期待经文就是说，停下来，然后查看，然后访问古道，单数一条路。结果我发觉原文是多数的，不止一条。
So, why did the Bible use ancient paths, plural?
为什么圣经里面用这个古道是复数多过一条？
The answer that satisfied my mind is that life is complex and there are many contingencies in life, circumstances in life.
我的默想中间所得的答案就是说，因为人生非常复杂，所以有很多不同的议题需要去面对。
And the Word of God has an answer for every circumstance and contingency of life.
所以神的话就是我们人生各式各样处境议题的答案。
That whatever situation we're in, the Word of God has a path by which we can glorify God in our response.
在你每一个人生议题、每一个人生的遭遇中，神都有一个 指引一条路给我们。
So when we are rejoicing and celebrating a new birth, for example, there is a way, a path by which we glorify God.
所以换句话说，当我们碰到人生中间 有人出生了，欢庆有生日了，我们 就有一条古道，我们能够归荣耀给神。
Or the opposite circumstances, when we are faced with illness or the death of a loved one at a funeral, there is a path in the way of God, word of God, that we can glorify God.
然后可是在另外一种相反的情形，有人生病，有人过世了，我们在 哀痛中仍然有一条古道，就是说我们如何在那个场合中间荣耀上帝。
In the timeless paths of the Word of God, there is a journey we can take through all the circumstances of life where we can glorify God.
所以在这个古道里面，我们有一个指引可以帮助我们在任何情况之下去追寻、跟随上帝、荣耀上帝。
Oh, my brothers and sisters, I hope you capture the heart of what I want to tell you. We must get back to the Word of God.
所以我希望各位能够抓住重点，我们需要回到神的话语中。
Not just to know His Word, but to do His Word.
不单知道他的话语，并且遵行他的话语。
Not just to master the Word, but allow the Word of God to master us.
不单只是我们能够掌握经文，而是让经文掌握我们。
Because the Word of God is the source code for the ancient timeless paths.
因为神的话语就是这条古道里面最基本的密码。
Stand by the way and see. Stop in all your busyness.
所以站在你繁忙生活的道途中停下来。
Be still before God.
在神面前安静。
And ask for the ancient timeless paths.
然后访问这条古道。
Where the good way is.
什么是当行之道？
The Hebrew word tov is the understanding of excellent, beautiful, wonderful way.
希伯来文 tov 这个字是表示说美丽的、灿烂的、美好的。
It's translated the good way.
翻译成为是一条善道。
God's way is always the good way.
神的道永远是善道。
The excellent way.
至好、至美的道。
And walk in the excellence.
走在善道上。
But it all comes back to the word of God.
这些通通回到神的话语中。
I have a habit that helped me, I want to share with you.
我有一个我的生活习惯对我很有帮助，我跟各位分享。
I color code my Bible.
我的圣经是用不同颜色笔把它画起来的。
I learned as a young Christian, clean Bible, dirty Christian. Dirty Bible, clean Christian.
我很少就学到这个道理了。干净的圣经，这个人的生命是污秽的。可是画的花花绿绿的圣经呢，这个人生命是纯洁的。
Clean Bible, you never read it, you cannot walk as a strong Christian.
你的圣经越干净，你就表示说你没有在学习神的话，你也没有遵行。
So I encourage you, read the Bible, meditate on the Bible, mark your Bible.
所以我鼓励各位读你的圣经，默想你的圣经，用各式各样颜色笔在上面画。
I tell you my own marking system, it helped me. If you find it helpful for you, you can use it too.
我在圣经里面做记号有一个系统，这个帮助我，我也跟各位分享。
I use the red marker or pink marker to highlight sins.
我用红色笔把罪画出来。
The warnings of God.
神对罪的警告。
Because red symbolized for me the blood of Jesus who died for our sins.
因为红色对我的意义就是说，这是代表耶稣基督的血为我的罪而流。
So when they are warning against sin, I mark with the red.
所以里面我碰到警告犯罪的经文，我就用红笔画起来。
Blue is like the blue sky.
蓝色笔就好像蓝天。
And so it's a background. So all the background facts that are important, I mark with blue.
所以它好像是一幅图画的背景，所以所有背景的资讯在读经中间，我就用蓝笔画出来。
So example, Luke 24, it says the two disciples walked from Jerusalem to Emmaus. It's a 7-mile journey. I mark in blue, 7-mile journey.
所以当我读到路加福音里面，几个门徒走在以马忤斯路上，讲到他们讲走这条路，这个就是背景资讯，我就用蓝笔画起来。
Because later in the story, this 7-mile journey is an important insight.
因为在经文后面，关于他们走在七个山头上面，这个背景就是有特别的意义了。
I'll show it to you why it's important later.
晚一点我告诉你为什么那个背景资讯重要。
But the blue I mark 7-mile journey.
所以我就难比画起来七个山。
From Jerusalem to Emmaus.
从耶路撒冷到以马忤斯。
Then I use yellow to mark principles.
我用黄色笔把原则记出来。
But I reserve orange for personal and powerful principles.
可是橘色呢，我是用来保留给对我个人而言有意义而且很有重要的这个真理。
Like no man can serve two masters.
比如说一个人不能侍奉两个主，我要橘色画起来。
Do not love the world nor the things of the world.
不要贪爱世界跟他世界上面的东西。
Because they speak to me personally.
因为这个对我个人说话。
They are powerful and important principles.
重要又对我个人有个人意义的真理。
I have loved you with an everlasting love is in orange.
我以永远的爱爱你，这是橘色。
Green is like the green grass is fresh, green trees is fresh.
绿色代表像草地、像树这种绿色。
So I reserve green for insights.
所以我把绿色保留作为有一些洞见的经文。
So like Revelation chapter 5, it says John wept. I put there, he wept. Why did he weep? It is green because it gives me a sense of inquiry. Why is this happening?
所以像启示录第五章，约翰哭泣，我就用绿色画起来。为什么约翰哭泣呢？有些事情提醒我。
And these are things that help me in my inquiry in the scriptures.
绿色帮助我在经文中间继续寻找答案。
I encourage you to mark the Bible.
所以我鼓励各位用一个颜色笔的系统来在读经做笔记。
As you read, as you study, as you meditate.
当你读，当你研究，当你默想的时候。
So that you are into an inquiry together.
所以你能够在这中间寻溯神的智慧。
By the way, in case you are thinking, why did John weep?
顺便提一下为什么约翰会哭泣。
I'll tell you why.
我告诉你为什么。
If you don't mind I give you the background first so that you can see in this large picture.
所以我先给各位这个背景，所以你看到一个大图画。
The book of Revelations is very profound.
启示录是非常深刻的一本书。
So give me a few minutes to unpack it for you.
所以我需要几分钟把这个背景跟各位分享。
There are 22 chapters in the book of Revelation.
总共有22章。
And when I was 21 years old, I came before the Lord and said, Lord, I love your Bible, but I don't understand this book.
我21岁的来到神面前说，主，我喜欢你的话语，可是最后这卷书我实在不明白。
I admire John Calvin.
我非常敬佩加尔文。
Not only for his masterly Christian institutes.
他写了那个基督教要义。
He wrote it at 21 years old.
他21岁就写出来了。
At 21, I haven't read it yet.
然后21岁我还没有读到。
It's brilliant.
实在是太聪明
了。But I also admire him for his commentaries.
我也非常敬佩他的圣经注解。
So for example, he commented on John chapter 1 verse 1 In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God.
比如说约翰福音一章一节，太初有道，道与神同在，道就是神，他的注解。
How did he interpret the word logos?
他如何注解道这个字呢？
Because logos have two basic ideas, a Greek idea and a Jewish idea.
所以因为道有两个观念，一个是希腊文的观念，一个是犹太的观念。
The Greek idea of logos is a principle, a reason.
所以道的意思就是说一个原则。
So it could be translated in the beginning was a reason, a principle.
所以可以翻成为太初有原则。
The Hebraic idea is in the beginning was the word.
然后另外一个翻译就是太初有话语。
John Calvin brilliantly interpreted as in the beginning was the utterance.
约翰加尔文非常有洞见的，他的解释说太初有话语。
It's a declaration, it's an expression.
所以说一个宣告，这个宣告是一种表达。
And his friends asked John Calvin, why don't you write a commentary on Revelations? And John Calvin said, because I don't understand it.
加尔文朋友问他，你为什么不写一个关于启示录的注解？他说，因为我不懂。
So at 21, I say, Lord, please help me understand.
所以21岁，我求主帮助我认识，明白。
At 23 years old, I found a simple key.
23岁我找到一个简单的钥匙。
When I was coming back to Revelations again, the Lord said, don't worry about all the visions and all the commentaries I read that confuse me. They're important, but there are different interpretations.
所以当我在读的时候，神提醒我说，你不要太关注于那些意象，因为虽然很重要，可是有太多的不同解释。
Focus on what this revelation is about.
就关注于整本书到底在讲什么。
This whole book of Revelation is about the revelation of Jesus Christ.
整本启示录是关于耶稣的启示。
Focus on Jesus.
所以聚焦在耶稣身上。
So that's what I did. I read 22 chapters focusing on Jesus, and I discovered it has 5 movements.
所以我就发觉整本书22章中间有5个部分。
The first movement, the first division is chapter 1 to chapter 3, the reminder of the king.
所以第一到第三章是第一幕是提醒我们这位王
that there's a king and there's a kingdom.
有一位王，有一个王国。
And it's the letter to the 7 churches.
还有七个教会。
How did we become subjects of the kingdom in the first place?
如何成为王国中的子民？
Chapter 4 and 5 is the redemption of the king.
第四到第五是王的救赎。
How did sinful man becomeredeemed into the holy presence of a holy God.
罪人如何被救赎，能够站在神圣的神面前？
Chapter 6 to 18, scholars say is the tribulation period.
6到18章，学者们说这个是大灾难的时候。
But however you interpret it eschatologically, these are the period of judgments.
无论你用任何角度来解释 这段时间就是审判的时间。
And the key is in Revelations 11:15.
它的钥匙在11章15节。
And the kingdom of this world shall become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever.
这个世界的国会变成 我们主的国，他会掌权到永远。
So chapter 6 to 18,explains how the kingdom of this world become the kingdom of our Lord in His Christ.
所以六到十八章其实在解释说世上的国如何变成主的国。
It is through 3 major waves of judgment.
就是经过三个主要的审判。
It is the rise of the king.
是王的兴起。
So the reminder of the king.
所以第一个是提醒我们关于王。
The redemption of the king.
王的救赎。
The rise of the king.
王的兴起。
Chapter 19 is the second coming, the return of the king.
第19章就是王的再来。
And chapter 20 to 22 is the new heaven and earth, the reign of the king.
20到22章就是这位主的统治，就是这个新天新地。
您所收听的节目是晨曦讲座，我是芳华。您的圣经是一片空白吗？今天曾牧师提供我们很好的读经方法，圣经标示红色提醒自己罪的警告，蓝色是圣经背景的资料，黄色是圣经的原则，橘色对人有意义的事情，绿色是一个看见或洞见，提醒自己继续的寻找答案。在下回的节目中，曾牧师会和我们解释启示录的第五章约翰为什么哭泣，他的见解。节目就为您进行到这儿，感谢您的收听，愿神赐福保护您，我们下回再会。
愿你荣耀国度降临我们中间，神灵降下焚烧众人心灵，复兴我们为失丧灵魂我前